Hi, Coach. Clint Zweitzer here, Great American Sports Network in Kansas City. Obviously, you guys haven't quite reached the pinnacle that you've wanted to the last few years, but just kind of talk about what it's meant to this Georgia Bulldog fan base to have risen to this level and to have gotten this close and obviously right on the verge of where you want to be.
Probably not as much as it'll mean if we do reach the pinnacle, but they're a great fan base. They're one of the most avid groups there are out there. They support us, and they travel well. They go places. They've been a big part of our recruiting success. When you fill up a spring game with 93,000 people, it's pretty evident that they care about the game of football. And that's what these kids like in recruiting. So they've been a tremendous part of our success. They've embraced our staff and our players. And they will, because football means something in the state of Georgia.
To your right, second row.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Hey, Rachel.
A couple questions for you. One, the first being, I know how relentless you are. You and I had a conversation after Sugar Bowl many years ago when you were at, not many years ago, but when you were at Alabama, and you were talking about waiting on the perfect job and wanting to take the perfect job and really, you know, thinking about it. I'm curious, because having known that about you and also the way you recruit, I'm curious what you've done in the off season to become a better coach.
Yeah, I think we always look internally to say, what can we do better? We do that as a staff. I hope each one of you guys do that, because I think, you know, when you're green, you grow, and when you're right, you rot. And we're always trying to stay green. So we take our coaching staff places. Our guys went and visited several NFL places. Myself went and visited with Dan Quinn over at Atlanta Falcons and got a lot of respect for him and shared some ideas. He's done a tremendous job with that organization. Visited with some general managers in the NFL. And just think that when you grow and you go get new ideas, it brings a freshness to your program that your players don't get bored with the monotonous same old, same old.
One last one. Yesterday, Commissioner Sankey was talking about, and I really appreciated it, mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, as a coach and somebody who's been around football for a really long time, what are you doing to break that stigma of, you know, hey, I need to be tough, I need to be masculine, not talk about this? What are you doing in your program to address mental health, Coach?
Yeah, Ron Corson, our medical staff, do a tremendous job. He's went out and hired three different people within mental health. They consult our players when they first get there. They meet with them. They talk to them. They visit with them. They develop relationships. They're around our players every day, and we talk all the time. If you need to speak to them, you need to spend time with them, visit with them, we encourage you to have that relationship. I've got a brother that works in the mental health field and have been able to learn a lot from him. That in our culture, football culture, sometimes that's not accepted. Having a brother that works in that field, it's helped me tremendously to understand it.
To your left, Coach, in the camera bank.
Hey, Kirby. Carl Prather, WFF TV in Huntsville. Would you walk us through the progression of Monty Rice and the expectation for him, also with the rest of your defensive unit on defense?
Yeah, Monty is a kid that came in early and rolled early and was able to kind of help us a lot. Then he got dinged up last year, and I think he ended up sitting out 2 to 3 games, and it's tough on him because he's a good football player, and he's been healthy ever since. We think he's going to be a tremendous asset for us. He's going to be in a thick competition inside linebacker where we've got 3 or 4 guys that are fighting for 2 starting jobs, and we think Monty's going to be right in the middle of that. As far as the progression of the rest of the defense, we're trying to grow some guys who played a lot last year. I think across the board, the 11 positions on our defensive unit, outside of maybe 1 or 2, they're all up for grabs. We got a 2 deep that we think maybe, I don't know if they're going to be superstars, but they're good football players. And the competition is going to prove itself out in fall camp, that who is going to be the guy to go out and grab this position. And the good news is they get to go against pretty good offense while they're competing to do it.
Up on the camera bank, blue shirt.
Yeah, Channing was a bright spot for us last year, especially on special teams. He was able to develop. He was a kid that played a lot of outside backer in his high school program, had not played as much inside backer. We put him inside. He's really fast. He was able to play, made some plays in the SEC championship game, and that we kind of developed him as the year went on and felt like, hey, if we're going to get to where we need to go, he's going to have to be a guy that can play on third down for us. He was able to go in and make some plays against Kentucky on third down, made some plays against Alabama on third down, and he's really helped us.
Up on the camera bank, and please ask your question loudly.
Okay. Hey, Coach Clark. Jake Brummel
He does it through his actions. I mean, this guy is the epitome of what college football is about. Number one, he stands up for the right things. He's very strong in his faith. He is he lives it. I mean, he lives it and he breathes it. And he does that with our players in a way that is not rubbing it in their face. And I have a lot of respect for his ability to be who he is, be confident in who he is, and still lead our team. And not create any jealousy while he's doing it. So it's a lot of credit given to his parents and his upbringing, because they have done a tremendous job with all their sons. And he's got a brother that's going to be at Auburn, which creates a unique situation. But he is a great young man.
Coach, to your left, second row.
Coach, you've been involved the last 2 years with two unbelievable games, obviously against Alabama. Just kind of talk about what you've learned from those, other than, of course, you probably want to win next time.
Yeah, get rid of their backup quarterback, right? I mean, that's part of the plan. But they do a tremendous job, and we haven't finished the way we need to. And to be honest with you, a lot of that goes right here to me. We got to do a better job finishing the game and stay on top of it. And they get some credit for that, because they've got a good football program. They've won a lot of football games, and they're a physical team. What I think we've shown is that we can match that physicality. We haven't finished that physicality, but we're not getting shoved around out there. And that's part of the deal against Alabama. You got to be able to go out and play physical.
Coach, to your right. Second row.
Hey, Kirby, Brooks Scapino from The Advocate. How do you and your staff personally monitor the NCAA transfer portal just in terms of roster building, and how do you feel other programs do that as well?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. There's a bigger deal made of the monitoring of it. I'm not talking about the fact they have the transfer portal, but, I mean, I think a lot of people really think that it's this huge, big deal. And at our level in the SEC, I don't think you're going to see a ton of kids going into the portal and coming to the SEC. What you see is grad transfers. You see guys that graduate from their university and then have an opportunity to go anywhere they want, and they choose to come to the SEC. But you'll probably be seeing more guys exiting through the portal than entering through the portal to the SEC. So we don't have to monitor it. I mean, we don't sit there and have a guy look over it and see if there's a player in there that we think can make us better –